honesty, truthfulness, and sincerity. Also, there are negative traits of dishonesty, bitterness, and these are characteristics that we definitely occurrences of these types of things, these negative traits. The Bible tells us, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Speaking very critical between husband and wife. Communications. Vow for the health of the marriage. Dr. David Mace, past president of the American Association of Marriages, called troubled marriages. Communication. And troubled marriages is a problem. So, what is communication? I'm going to throw that out to the class. Receiving and understanding the person who's dialogue. Back a conversation going on. They're all good definitions. Communication is a process of sharing information with another person, such and so talking and listening someone point talking, the other person who's not talking is listening, and then there's some understanding hopefully going on. Communication between husband and wife is very prevalent for human beings when someone said something. Talking about, Melba is talking about interaction. Nevertheless, that scripture, I believe, is talking about interactive communication. Communication is very important. Paul, Colossians 4:6, that's where I'm at. Everybody turn to Colossians 4:6. Always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So, Melba, if our disposition, if our companion, bitter disposition, listen, they're not, and they're communicating in a way that is important. The translation that you're using. Let's move on. Getting back to the communication, as I said, our communication between in order to develop and possess these characteristics of honor, Paul, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow. He suffered. He did not threaten, but committed himself to Him. Christ has left us an example that we should follow in His steps. Marriages, and no spouse says or does something offensive to us. Perfect example where I had this script talking to the Pharisees. If you look at the context of this chapter, dialogue with the Pharisees, and we can go up to verse 42. We'll start in verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came, because you are not able to listen to my word. You are the devil, and the desires of your Father you want to do. He was a murderer of it. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Let's continue on here. So we shouldn't return evil for evil. As I said, when our word revile in 1 Peter 2, 21 through 22, word revile means to slander. Sharp language, but I believe physical part of us, quite naturally, when our spouse says something derogatory, husband and wife needs to follow Christ's example and overcome evil with good. Somebody got to keep a level head. You know, tempers flare. If we've done something good, bad, or indifferent, is the Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, another scripture that talks about communication. Word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good, summary of what we've been talking about and what we're trying to get across. Corrupt word, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. Problems in our marital relationship, getting back to the husband and wife. Really know your spouse. Their background. as I said, the likes and the dislikes. Why they do some of the things they do. If not, how do we learn about our spouses and get to know them better? How do we learn and get to know our spouses better? That's a question. Okay, very good. Communication, yeah, we need to talk. You hit the nail right on the head. We need to talk to our spouses. We need to take the time every day. That's right. We have to be considerate. We have to take an interest in some of the things, some of their hobbies, the things that they like, of the things that interest them. Go shopping with them. Worship with them. Study the Bible with them. Pray with them. These are the kind of things that are going to help us understand our spouses. Talking to them about their childhood and how they grew up and what were some of their setbacks, what were some of their failures when they were growing up. It gives us a better understanding of our husband and of our wives. Very important. So the quick answer is that you must spend some time talking to your husband or your wife every day. Take an interest in something that they like and participate in that activity with them, like cooking a meal or going for a walk. First and foremost, I'm mindful of Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila were Christians in Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 19. You can read about them. They were tent makers. They worked with the Apostle Paul. They went on missionary journeys with the Apostle Paul. Together, they did everything together. Apollos was preaching and teaching false doctrine. What did they do? They pulled Apollos to the side and taught him the word of God more accurately. That's in Acts 19, chapter 19. So, husband and wife team working together for the good of the Lord, Lord's kingdom. Going out and sowing the seed. Going out visiting members who need to be visited. Members who are not coming, members who are shut in, are widows. Those are the kind of things that husband and wife needs to do together to get to know one another. Men, the trend is not in our favor. As I'm picking on us. I'm picking on us, men. The trend is not in our favor because of the tendency we have demonstrated is that we are not very good at communicating with our spouses and with our children. Brother Obed, I'm not going to go back and revisit the lessons he taught the past Lord's Day, but he talked about us regretting, having regrets. He used the example of David and what happened with his sons and him not, taking the time to communicate and getting to know them. So, again, the same thing goes for a wife and her husband. Is that we have to take the time right now to get to know them and to let them know that they're important to us. Husband and wives ought to and need to spend time together discussing spiritual matters. As I said, I used the example of Priscilla and Aquila about Christ and the church. They should visit together, attend services together, and serve the Lord together. As I already pointed out, there should be transparency between husband and wife, and they should have no fear in revealing their innermost thoughts and feelings to one another. Now, if you, husband, have a problem, if you, wife, have a problem, who should be the first person you should go to? Your spouse. Okay? Yes, we go to God, but we go to our spouse. They're there to help us. Should be. So we need to trust and have our confidence in our spouses. They're there to help us. And you'd be surprised if you open up to them, they will open up to you. Therefore, being honest, being truthful, and sincere are key ingredients that allow spouses to engage in a positive and fruitful sharing of information and themselves. We must first give of ourselves to the Lord, and that would allow for more smoother, clearer, more fruitful communication. If we have the fruits of the Spirit, if we have the Christian graces. And there's another passage I'm going to bring up here right now. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. These are the qualities that we should have. Our attitude, our disposition should be of this manner. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise worthy, meditate on these things. So, this is the framework of how we should be thinking and processing life and information. We're looking to do just, honest, pure, and righteous things. We're not looking to cause harm. We're not looking to inflict punishment on our spouses or on our fellow man for that matter. We're looking to do things purely and honestly and naturally and righteously as this scripture points out. We want to be virtuous. We want to do things that are of a good report. So Christians, husbands and wives, should serve and respect one another and work together to the glory and honor of God. Since you have purified, turn to 1 Peter 1, 22. I thought we had already read this, but we haven't. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Did you get that? Since you have purified your souls, or we have purified our souls in obeying the truth, that's very important. We've obeyed God's truth. We've succumbed. We've submitted ourselves to the counsel of God and under His direction. Through the Spirit, I'm going to read it again. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another with a pure heart. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. That means to a high, very high degree. So let's keep that in mind. So briefly, as I have a few more minutes here, a marriage that is plagued with dishonesty, lying, and bitterness is a very unstable environment which can destroy our relationship with our spouses and our children. As Brother Obed pointed out so eloquently in the lessons that he brought last Lord's Day, a spouse who is not sincere, untrustworthy, is like a cancer. And you know what cancer does? It eventually eats up and attacks the body and eventually destroys the body. So, if we have a spouse, or if we are of that persuasion, we want to put off that kind of behavior. If we are willing to lie, to be dishonest with our spouse, this is very disrespectful and is a serious threat to the marital bond. And I read John chapter 8 and verse 44 already, verse 45. And I wanted you to capture Satan's attitude. He doesn't respect the truth. And in this passage, Christ, in condemning the Pharisees, compares them to Satan, who does not stand for the truth, because the truth is not in him, and Christ is called the father of lies. So Satan is the father of lies. And guess what? He's trying to get you to be second. He wants you to lie too. To lie to your spouses, to lie to your fellow man. And that's what society is promoting these days. It's okay to lie if it makes you look good. That is not Christ-like. We should vow to never lie to our spouse or anyone else that we associate with. Our God greatly dislikes lying. We should strive to be pure and genuine. For emphasis on this point, let's read aloud Proverbs chapter 6. Everybody turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Out of these seven things, two of them have to do with lying. You notice that? Brethren, as Christians, and also in our marriages and in our family units, let's strive to always be honest, truthful, and sincere. Both husband and wife must mutually work together and be willing and ready to help one another spiritually and physically. Excuse me. And lay aside all bad actions and thoughts that will create problems in our home. And to end our lesson, I read Ephesians chapter 4, 31, 29 through 32 already. And I'll summarize it again here real quick. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God Christ forgave you. So that concludes my lesson this morning, but since we have about four more minutes, let's turn to a scripture in the Old Testament. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. Proverbs 25 and verse 11, beginning of verse 11. You got time to get there, because I'm going there too. Proverbs 25 and verse 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear." So a word fitly spoken does a lot. Has an indelible effect upon the hearer or the listener. And as we see at the end of that verse 12 there, it says, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. So a wise rebuker. Okay, if we're trying to help someone, if we're trying to help our spouse improve on something, maybe there's something that they need help with that we are better at, and we're wanting to assist them, we need to do it. We need to be a wise rebuker. We need to be someone who's loving, okay, who's the words are fitly spoken. That means that they're well thought out, and they're showing and expresses love, not bitterness, not frustration, not anger. "So I'm getting tired of you. You keep doing the same thing. You keep doing this over and over again." So we don't want to come across in that manner. So another scripture I want to leave you with is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25 in the New Testament. Ephesians 5, 22 through 25, it talks about the relationship between husband and wife. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject, wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So we see this beautiful relationship between Christ and the church. The church is the bride of Christ. Christ gave his life for his bride, the church. The husband should be willing to give his life for his bride, his wife. You get the impact. So we're out of time. I appreciate you listening, and this concludes our class for this morning. We will now transition into our worship hour. Thank you very much for your attention and time.